Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I came of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo of letting go, God.
And welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, or Larry Rhodes. I'm trying to get my volumes level here. And today with us, we have Wombat on the phone, as usual. Say hi, Wombat.
Wombat!
Got your level there.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, I got your level. That's good. And with us, we have a special guest today. Dale, you want to say hi?
Hello. How are you doing?
And Dale's joining us this week. I've been trying to get him on the show for quite a while now, and he's deigned to join us, and we're happy to have him here. Anyway, this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Doubter 5, and the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, that ain't the case.
You're not alone.
There are several atheist and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knox Patch, and I'll tell you how you can connect with them later on in the show. And also, did you know that there was an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Wombat?
Oh, my gosh. You're putting me on the spot. But, yeah, I think this is old news. It's been around for a while now. I mean, what is it, like 23 seasons now?
They've kind of done
all the jokes they've possibly done. And I still understand why they got the yellow skin. Like, is that a reference? What is that? Is that Bart's hair, or is that its skin?
No, you got the wrong show. No, sorry, no. You're looking at the wrong show, as you have been for the last 6 years, I guess. But no, it's been on the air for 7 years. It's an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville over 7 years now. And we'll tell you how you can tune into that a little bit later on in the show. And in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing them right here on this program and generally on this station as they are in rotation. We'll have a atheist song at the break, which would be about halfway through the show at 7:30. So stick around, and we'll tell you about the other groups that are here in Knoxville as well. And since it's so close to Thanksgiving, and a lot of you're going to get together with your family for Thanksgiving, there are going to be a lot of mixed crowds of theists and non-theists and political persuasions. So we thought we'd hold a show to discuss tips maybe that you would have to get along in this Thanksgiving season. And did you bring some tips with you there, Wombat?
So I just had that Thanksgiving dinner or holiday last week with my family in Chattanooga. I went to go see Mama Wombat.
Did you?
And my sister Wombat, all the way from Hawaii, she flew in.
Wow.
And I drove down to Chattanooga with my cat, and it was the first time all four of us with the cat were together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of cool. My mom is a Jehovah Witness, or she just recently converted to Jehovah Witness.
Yeah.
And my sister stayed as a Christian. I'm not sure what sect, because, you know, growing up, we were going to all kinds of different churches. But
yeah, you talked about that on the show before.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm an atheist. So all of us at the dinner table, you know, we have the food spread out. We're all happy. My mom's not supposed to be celebrating Thanksgiving.
She's not supposed to be celebrating Thanksgiving or any holiday?
Yeah, Jehovah Witnesses don't celebrate holidays. So it's just an interesting thing where, you know, there's this dynamic at the table where we're trying not to step on each other's toes. My mom's happy to celebrate the holiday because her kids are there.
And sure.
She wants to celebrate time,
yeah.
time, spend time with her kids.
Yeah.
My sister doesn't know what atheism is all about. I think she's trying not to step on my mom's toes to start another religious conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And when we all bow down our heads and pray, I'm just waiting for everyone to, like, respectfully finish, you know?
Sure.
And if I get a dirty look, the question might be, I'm suppressing asking, or the witty comment on my end being like, well, you guys are both praying to different gods. When you figure it out, then I'll jump in.
For yeah. Him too. Well, really, all they should be doing at Thanksgiving is just giving thanks. They really shouldn't be doing any requesting of stuff at the table, you would think. Just say, thank you for the food.
That's a great point. And when you didn't go to Thanksgiving, the whole thing that you should be focused on is what you're happy to have, not so much what you think other people should have or believe or what they're missing in their lives. It's a time to spend with family, and it's a time to have, you know, your priorities straight where you may only have a few opportunities where the entire family gathers on that year. And I know for my own family, it's been a couple of years before we can get everybody all together in the same week.
Uh-huh.
So I was just happy to be there. And that's what my strategy was in the long term. I went up there trying not to cause waves,
mm-hmm.
keeping it to myself, and just trying to keep focused on the family.
Well, it makes it a little easier.
Did it work?
Yeah.
It work?
I think it worked. So, if anything, I think it worked really well because there was religious conversations, but I didn't take part in them.
So you don't have a crazy uncle?
I got plenty.
Well, everybody's got a crazy uncle. I think I'm the crazy uncle in my family.
But my mom was really insistent on taking my sister to the Kingdom Hall, which is where she has
her
work.
She did.
And I did not have there was a time where I would say, no, don't do that, let her think for herself, blah, blah, blah. I didn't want to have that. I didn't want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I say, let her go. If she has a good time there, good. If she finds something important.
Well, she's an adult now. How old is your sister?
Exactly. Oh, she's 4 years older than I am.
Well,
so she's probably in her mid-30s.
Well, then, she's an adult. She can make up her own mind. It's like she's trying to take her 5-year-old nephew up there and brainwash him, where he doesn't really have any the wherewithal mentally to question the things that they're throwing at him. So
exactly.
Yeah. No, I think
and
it's okay. I got it.
And I had an American atheist pin on the back of my car, a label that was like the A with the Adam symbol behind it.
Uh-huh.
And my sister, who didn't know what the symbol meant, was pointing at it and asked me what that meant. I said, atheist is American atheist. And I just let the conversation end there. She was like, oh. And I didn't like spend more time explaining anything else than that.
Right.
But I think that's literally the only topics in religion that I participated in. And otherwise, I kept my head up. I was jovial. I had a good time. Came for dinner. We had a fun time, we saw some movies, and I think just the well-prepared presentation that I made on my religious beliefs and how I acted was all the explanations that I needed for, you know, how do I represent my faith, basically.
Sure.
What do you guys, how'd you guys have it? Or how are you guys preparing for the war ahead?
Bill, you want to
Thanksgiving get-together is tomorrow, and I think there are two schools of thought. Don't cause any waves or cause as much destruction as possible. I've got relatives who listen to Alex Jones and are willing to go in for long periods of explanation on how the government is poisoning us with chemtrails and how the UN is taking over, so forth and so on, and how Donald Trump is the most wonderful person that's ever lived. So, in years past, I've tried your method, which is just try to make everything go nicely. I mean, after all, the ladies have, mostly the ladies have spent a lot of time cooking the turkey and all that. But I'm thinking just ruin it.
Ruin it.
And give the family something to talk about for the
make
rest
it a
of
momentous
year.
Thanksgiving dinner, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Memorable.
Yeah. Just try to cause as much
Who is this guy?
Well, I mean, after all,
I like what he's saying for some reason. What's going on?
Well, I just figured everybody's put on this planet to entertain me. And yeah. Besides, it's such a ridiculous holiday to begin with.
What is ridiculous about eating food and getting to the point where you need to take a nap?
I'm getting together with family, too.
Now, eating food is part of most every holiday. People are making it part of it's part of Christmas, it's part of Easter, it's part of even Halloween for that. So eating food is not that much of a special thing.
Eating food is like the most special thing. It's great. You get to eat literally to the point where you fall unconscious, surrounded by people who you were born with. That is a festive occasion if I've ever heard one.
Well, I can get unconscious by going to a bar with a fistful of 20s.
Mm-hmm. I could probably do it at 120. But I know what you mean. You want to create memories, as they say. Let's make some memories, right?
Oh, I mean, if you do it right, you won't be invited back the next time.
Oh, I see. That's true. But if you want to see those people again, sometimes, you know, it's better not to. But at the same time, I'm not one for sitting down and shutting up if somebody else is holding forth, you know, and expecting me to sit down and shut up. I'm not going to do that. But it seems to me, Wombat, that at your house, people respected each other's views. You pretty much went along with the religion that was represented by the household that you were in, and just let the dinner flow without too much. Back and forth, too much confrontation.
Not only that, but it was about setting an example. And I knew going in that of all the beliefs at the table, there were two believers and me not a believer. So I could understand if things started getting a little bit posse, I would be the only odd man out. My cat wouldn't be much to defend me. So I wanted to demonstrate that, you know, I'm not going to be here to ruin, you know, a holiday. My sister threw all the way out, and I'm not going to put my beliefs above having a good time with the family. And ask them to take that away from me. If they want to have an argument, they can do so by themselves. I will stay away from it. And if anything, by just, you know, being comfortable with the fact that, like, hey, if they want to pray, let them pray. If they want to go to a religious hall, let them go to the religious hall. I'm fine because my priority is spending time with you. That's what I value. My secular beliefs hold true that my family's important to me. What they believe is important to me, even if it's not what I agree with, and that I really just want to spend time with them. That speaks more than any argument that I could present to them in the first place.
Do you celebrate Christmas with your family too? With your
I mean, so again, my mom's a Jehovah Witness, so I go to her on December. And there's no trees or there's no presents, but I still spend time with her because I want to spend time with my mom. So, like, really, that's the nuts of it. Like, the holiday for me has changed in context with how my mom and my sister want to celebrate it. Because it's not really, I mean, if I wanted presents, I can just buy myself something. And if I want to put up a wreath or a tree, I totally could. I can just go to Walmart and pick it up and do that. I don't have a compunction to go down to where my mom lives and set one up and say, hey, if I'm seeing you, this is Christmas time, I'm an atheist, I don't respect what you believe because I don't follow your religion, but it's Christmas time, I'm going to put up a tree in your own house. I'm not into that. Mm-hmm. I say, hey, if you don't want to celebrate it, that's fine. I'm not, my religious belief is non-existent, so I'm just happy just to spend time with you at the end of the day. And I think that's good enough. I think that's what the real holiday is.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm celebrating more truer Christmas than most other people are.
For the people that are just celebrating getting together with the family and having warm feelings and catching up on what's been going on for the past year, maybe there needs to be an alternative Thanksgiving Day. I mean, with your mother not celebrating. Actually, Thanksgiving did begin as a secular holiday. Well, it had several beginnings, but it originally was secular in Europe. And but if you were to choose, let's say, the weekend before or after the usual Thanksgiving, then you wouldn't have to pay as high of airfare prices, gas prices, and deal with all the traffic, such as some people are now making their Christmas shopping time the day after Christmas.
Yeah, Black Friday, I mean. Or the day after Christmas. Oh, I thought you said Thanksgiving.
Yeah, day after Christmas.
Wow. That makes sense. You could take the family and the kids and everybody and go to the Toys R Us on that day, and it would be almost as good as opening presents under the tree.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah, true.
That's true. You know, we do have this weird scenario, though, because my mom already knows that I'm an atheist. My sister already knew I was an atheist going into it.
Uh-huh.
But there are people out there that have not come out to their parents.
Right.
And based on what their religious beliefs were. And so I can imagine there's a lot more stress, especially if they're like you, Doubter 5, like you said, like you don't like it when people expect you not to say anything and are willing to espouse their beliefs, political
right.
views and religious views, and make
uh-huh.
just
to no end and nauseam.
And either agree with them or shut up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a clip from the atheist experience about a guy who just had that experience. And it's set up. If you ever want to go into it, we can go into it and listen to this guy who called in to the show last week and said basically, hey, I don't have this belief. What tips would you have for me? And then they give some tips, and we can talk about whether we think they're productive or not.
Yeah. Are these the clips that you sent to me earlier tonight?
Yep. It's the first clip.
The first clip, clip one. Okay. Let's see if we can make it work. I'm going to have to adjust your volume over there, I believe, but we'll see what happens. Clip one.
I want to make a quick anecdote about a previous call. I called in maybe about 6 or 7 years ago under a pseudonym, and
oh, wow.
At the time I was a teenager in college, and it was you, Tracy, and Matt were on.
Okay.
And basically, it was kind of like a couple of calls back you were talking about. I was a teenager who was at college, but my mom was coming and dragging me away to church every week, and I felt like I was going crazy. So I was asking for advice about what to do, and basically, with my specific scenario, the advice that I got from you guys was to basically just don't rock the boat and wait, because I was close to being able to be financially independent and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And I met up with Matt at a debate in Tennessee a while ago, and I told him this, but I figured he's probably forgotten, and I wanted to tell you directly, too, that was absolutely perfect, and that it happened that 3 or 4 months down the road, I was in a position that I was able to break out of that, and so I'm not out as an atheist to my family, but I have a great rapport with them, and I'm not part of that group anymore. So that,
cool.
That was a great outcome, I guess.
I'm glad, because there's always that possibility that somebody calls in one day to say, I took your advice, and man, was that rubbish. So I'm glad it was useful.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you.
Well, I just wanted to call back just because I had something pop in my mind. I don't know how much, Don, if you can relate to this, but I hope maybe you guys can sort of sympathize with this. So basically, the vast majority of my family is very conservative, fundamentalist Christian. And, of course, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, so I'm going to be going back home. And every year, inevitably, it happens that whenever you get enough of my family together, they're going to start talking about religion. And either about, you know, having small arguments about their very specific sect of Christianity and, like, trying to convince each other, or just reaffirming their own beliefs in a bubble, you know, just kind of circling back. It's just a very frustrating environment to be in. So
okay.
I was wondering if
you're
wondering what?
Maybe you could step up at the very beginning and let's set some ground rules this year and let's not talk about religion.
I have my own ideas, but what were you wondering?
Yeah,
okay,
I was just
sorry.
Wondering if you guys had any experience or tips or tricks with how to turn that
I
around.
I didn't, but you know what?
Conversation or how to, like, turn that into a positive.
Sit in the corner and drink some alcohol.
I think you should troll that conversation.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you should take it in, like, to be very straight, you have to be real straight faced with it. But somebody comes up, like, there was, I'm not suggesting you maybe go this route, okay? Maybe not this far, but here's the idea, right? So someone called the show to prank us one time, and he basically tried to make an argument that the restrictions on sexuality that were in the Bible gave rise to lots of creative sex because people were trying to do things without, you know, penile vaginal sex. And so we kind of got off on the topic of how Catholicism, you know, like the Catholic girls do whatever.
Right.
And I mean, he was calling joking pranking, but it was a funny point, right? Like, have restrictions on sexuality in the Bible led to more creative sexuality, like outside of, you know, normal sex, like, you know, the normal sex. And so if you were to let them make those points and just kind of be like, you know, that's interesting, I wonder, like, have you ever thought, and then just throw in like a wrench, right, like an absolute wrench, but keep it straight face, like you're really thinking about this.
So yeah, humor, I think the larger picture is humor.
Yeah.
Humor might be a good way to
you might just try one and see how it goes, and if it doesn't go well, then, you know, you pull back and it's cool.
Yeah.
But if it flies...
Yeah, I was curious if you guys would go the route of trying to turn it into a good situation or try to avoid the topics entirely. But
I'd say play it by ear. I mean, you know your family.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know if you get involved in that, if it's going to go... If it starts going, you know, south, I would pull back. But if it's, you know, if you can make it into a fun, you know, giggle.
I think Tracy's saying don't get too wrapped up by the... Don't get wrapped around the axle by any of this. Just take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. fun with.
Yeah, that sounds good. It's always something that I end up being like frustrated in the corner, is trying to like I'll hang out with the kids who won't be talking about religion or you know something like that. But that sounds like a good idea to try to.
We had a more civilized society, you know, 50 years ago when religion was kind of a bit of a taboo subject. It wasn't a subject of polite conversation, and so everybody got along a little better, I think. And with the politics thing, that's also another big
mess. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, maybe they'll talk about Trump.
Yeah, change the subject to Trump.
You can get some really good quotes, right? Like, how about that Trump?
That'll make America great again.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Dude, you just have hours of, you know, like you said, pour yourself a scotch and enjoy. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
I appreciate the response.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for calling.
And good luck to you guys on your own Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
And we're back. Yeah, I like that clip. They get a lot like that. They have a lot of fun on the show. If anybody's not familiar with the Atheist Experience out of Austin, Texas, just look for athean-experience.org, I think is what it is. And then you can see any, you can go and click on it and watch any of their 20 years of shows that they have on archive. But it's a good show. It's great. I listen to the podcast every week.
What gets me,
though? Well, I want a round table. Go on, Dale.
It does seem to me that it has become a religious holiday. There seems to be an awful undertone of religion to it. Whereas, one of the things you hear is that the Puritans came over here to escape religious persecution. Have you all heard that?
Yeah, and then turned right around and persecuted all the other religions.
Well, it's actually not true. What happened was is they were being fined and such in England because England was forcing the
church.
But they were in the Netherlands and Holland where they were allowed to worship whatever way they wanted to. No one was going to say anything to them, but they did not like that idea because then they could not keep control over their children who wanted to think other ideas. So they wanted to come to America where they could have their own group and then persecute anyone who did not believe the way they did. So it's not religious freedom, it's religious persecution. And the holiday is so messed up in the facts that you think are true, but they're not. For example, the first time it was mentioned that it should be celebrated every year was 12 or so years after the original one. And the governor at that time, Brad something or other, Bradford, said that we should, he was going to celebrate every year, but at that time they were celebrating the massacre of 500 Indians that they had done previously, and they was going to celebrate the massacre.
Oh, wow.
And also, these people were not all that nice of people. They were grave robbers. They would rob the graves of the Indians to get whatever trinkets that were buried with the Indians, and there was no turkey, and there was no belt buckles, and it's
no hat buckles.
No, it was Lincoln who finally made it a holiday, and it was his effort to try to show some uniting, because there's a bury the hatchet type of a theme in the Thanksgiving tale. And that was his idea. And then Roosevelt, it was supposed to be celebrated on the last Thursday, and then Roosevelt changed it to the fourth Thursday. The reason being, more shopping days.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. And that's burying the hatchet is a good theme for what we're talking about today, that we're trying to get people to reconcile their differences during the holidays and not come out in open warfare, unless you want to do it just to make memories and make it so that you're not invited back and you don't have to do it again next year, which is an option, the way we could think of it. Anyway, I enjoyed your clip. You've got a couple more that we want to play in the second half of the show about street epistemology, but that's moving away from the topic of Thanksgiving. Any other final words on Thanksgiving? We got about 3 minutes before we go to the break.
It's a ridiculous holiday.
I think it's an important holiday. I think it's a great time, especially for Americans, to have at least one day where they can at least be recognized in the why they should be grateful for the things that they have. And if they can spend that with their family and have the time where they go around the table and just look at the bounty of food, look at some people that they love, and come to terms with the fact that they're fortunate in whatever situation they may be in, just to put aside some differences and come to a table of equal standing and appreciate the things that they do have and be grateful for it. I think that's a wonderful day of remembrance. And if anything, just on that empathetic level, it's a really important quality to have and a great thing to celebrate. And that's about it. I think it's a cool holiday. It doesn't have a religious background, but I do think it has like some historical significance in the fact that there was, in fact, Americans, at least in one time, who were happy with what they had. And we hear so much about greed and how much we want, you know, more things, and we forget about the stuff that we have, but at least we have this, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. And why do you think it's a ridiculous holiday?
What?
You want to flesh that out a little bit?
Why is it a ridiculous holiday?
Uh-huh.
Because there's nothing in it that's true.
Oh, because of all the falsehoods that it was based on.
Yeah, it's none of it is true. It's like Columbus.
But we
none of that's true.
We can just take it for what it is now and go forward with it, I guess. That's one of the things we can do.
Well, I would probably blame the Texas school book writing people for making this part of the truth,
yeah.
But it's just not true.
The revisionists.
I would argue that like the firsthand accounts of like Edward Winslow, who was one of the pilgrims during that time in around 1621, is a pretty good indication that there was some festival that lasted for at least 3 days with Native Americans partaking with the pilgrims that arrived, the Wampanoag Indians, I believe,
yes,
and Indians that landed in, or the pilgrims that landed in America. That was, in fact, a cross-meeting of minds and a peaceful celebration. And that's, I believe, is historically accurate. And one of the foundations of what we're celebrating in this holiday.
There's a question about whether they were invited or not, but supposedly they did bring venison to the festival or to the get-together.
It's like 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool.
Yep. Okay, sounds good. We're down at the bottom of the hour now. We're going to go to a break. This is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, which is live 7 to 8 o'clock every Wednesday. So mark this radio pint on your dial. We're going to take a break and play I Don't Believe in Fairies by Shelley Siegel, which is an atheist theme song. And we'll be back in probably about 5 minutes.
I don't believe in fairies. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in vampires hungry for our throats. I don't just that can fly. I don't believe in dragons. I think
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And we're back. Are you still with us there, Wombat?
Still here!
Yay.
Come on, Wombat, what's up?
And Dale, you with us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'd wake him up over there. He's snoring. No, I was kidding. Anyway, we're coming back now to the second part of the show, which I always talk about the different free thought groups that are here in Knoxville and tell you how you can hook up with them. There's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. November, this month, marks our 15th year. ASK now has over 775 members, I believe, and you can find them online at knoxvilleatheist.org. Or you can go directly to meetup.com and look for Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. Also, you can join us in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday at West Hills Taps and Flats on Kingston Pike near Westtown Mall, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody's welcome, just as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Matt Dillahunty. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for more than 20 years. RET has biweekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays at the Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. And if that's too complicated and too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. Or just go there on Sunday and follow the signs. There's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a couple of years ago and now has spread across the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who've had enough of religion, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They only meet once a month on the fourth Sunday, but you can find them downtown near the fairgrounds in the International Building, regular church time on the fourth Sunday of each month. Then there's this is school time in fall. Is their Secular Student Alliance is gearing up again, which they always do in the fall. They have programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or would just like to find other free thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. And earlier in the show, we talked about the Atheist Call-In television show. Well, it's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it every Tuesday, pretty much, between 5 o'clock and 6 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. If you don't have cable, you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. Don't have cable, right. You can also find archives of some of their shows on YouTube, where a fan has been recording and posting them. Just go to YouTube and search for three little words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV show or this radio show, just come to an Ask Meetup or an RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. Now, back to the show. I believe that Wombat had been talking about street epistemology earlier in earlier shows and had brought a couple of clips with us that we can talk about on the second half of the show. Is there with us, Sarah Wombat?
Yeah, Wombat's here, man on the street. Let's go.
Cool. You want to take the discussion off in that direction? You want to tell us about the first
clip? Sure. So, just as a quick heads up, street epistemology is a thing that I'm working on. It's a technique to talking to people about deeply held beliefs, particularly in a way that doesn't make the conversation turn into an argument or make the person that you're speaking to become defensive, and can really be helpful for not only just the person you're talking to, but really even for the interviewer to really understand how to approach people and have a really productive conversation about things most people don't necessarily want to talk about in public, but tend to be really open to speaking to with strangers. And I think that's a really cool dynamic. So this is a interview that I posted on the Street Epistemology private Facebook group, as well as on my YouTube channel. I'm going to eventually mix these up into a proper episode. But Right now, this is an interview that I had with a really great guy named Steven, a public luncheon in Lexington. And there was a jazz band that was playing, and Steven was the pianist, or the pianist there. And after the their session was over, I struck up a conversation with him with my clipboard and microphone and told him, you know, I also play the piano as well. And we talked about, you know, our favorite jazz artists. And then we eventually transitioned into a discussion on what I was doing, what I was trying to practice, and whether or not Steven valued faith and what it meant to him. So the conversation clip that you're about to show literally starts right after I asked him what his belief, how he valued faith, and this is an important one.
So they'll be starting off talking about faith. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. And one thing to note, there's some background noise only in the sense that it's a public space. As I get better at this, I hope to improve the audio quality, but I think it's a really great talk if you're willing to put up with that. Anyway, again, Stephen, what do you think about faith? Is it important to you? And there we go.
Okay.
Faith is, it's kind of, it means a different thing for me than it does for the average.
I just want to know how you feel about it.
Well, if I have, I light a candle and I stick my hand in it, I have faith I'm going to get burned. That's the kind of faith I have.
Can I call it, and I'm sorry if it's the wrong way if I'm putting it.
That's my answer.
Would you call it a reasonable expectation that you'll get burned if you stick your hand in the
yes.
flame? It's faith to you based on reasonable expectations.
It's based on experience and experimentation and seeing the world as it really is. When I was younger, I had a more traditional faith, you know, mm-hmm. I believed in supernatural things. And over time, I've kind of gotten away from that. Now, don't get me wrong, I accept the possibility that there are things, or could be things out there that we don't see, but are nonetheless real.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we have not been able to scientifically explain.
Okay.
Sorry for the background noise. At this point, I ask him whether or not he uses faith to inform himself on whether or not a God exists.
No, because I think... All right.
Are you okay.
I learned that recently. Either there is a God or there isn't, and each one has. If you accept each one of those as a premise, then there are certain things that follow from that. Like if there is a God, and God made everything. If you attribute that to God. That God was the creator of everything? Well, who created God?
Yeah.
That's the question that comes up.
So, right?
So, and if there isn't a God, then how do you explain things like joy, love, compassion, things that are... Things that can be deeply felt and are real.
Yes.
But you can't explain them away necessarily as evolutionary advantages.
Okay, that's the end of that clip. Do you want to go into talking about it before I play clip two, or the
yeah,
continuation?
Absolutely. Let's have a discussion. So while speaking with Stephen, as you can see, he said that he does value faith, but the definition that he gave me was a lot different from what I would hear from a lot of people who would pull from a more traditional sense, something based off of like Romans 10, like belief in things unseen, or like trust in spite of evidence. His faith seemed to be based on the things that he could test, and so I asked if it was fair if we could clarify his faith as something that was based on reasonable expectations. And when I said that, his eyes sort of lit up a bit, and he was more, I feel like he was opening up a little bit more, and he says, yeah, I do feel like I'm more in the mindset of testing things and finding out what they're true through experimentation. And he's still open to the possibility that a God exists because he came to the conclusion that he doesn't know if he can test if a God exists, so he doesn't know either way. But he's keeping the door open because he can't find a suitable explanation for why things like joy and love and compassion exist if there wasn't a God.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, guys?
Well, I think it's a false dichotomy, but I'll go ahead and let Dale answer before I get into that. Do you have any thoughts on that, Dale?
Well, as I was listening to the clip, he said he didn't find any evolutionary reason for joy and love and all of that. Whereas I think that there is an evolutionary advantage to that.
Sure.
We see greed and cooperation between different species. We see animals experience happiness, and I've seen elephants experience grief. Mm-hmm. They've used cooperation. It's their affection that for their friends and for their family that helps hold their tribe together. So I do see an evolutionary advantage to that.
Well, certainly. Plus, it's the case can be made that it's all just chemicals in the brain. I mean, you have certain chemicals. They have isolated the chemicals that produce these emotions, and your body has learned over thousands of years, millions of years, to produce them to create the cohesion that we have in our societies. We also have a reptile brain at the very base of our brain that causes the opposite. But hopefully we're evolutioning, getting evolutioning, we're more and more away from that reptile brain.
Actually,
evolving.
No. Evolving. Thank you.
No. There is a use for the reptile brain. I believe that Fox News and Alex Jones and a number of these people
are profiting from that.
Well, they actually use the techniques of creating fear and anxiety and apprehension in order to hold on to their listening base and convince them that we have death camps constructed outside of Chattanooga,
which instills fear in their reptile brain. And
well, exactly.
React to that.
If you'll notice that the brain actually has a better memory state of something that is stressful or dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
You may go to a comedy
show
and you may realize that you laughed almost the entire show, but you can't really remember all that many jokes.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you see an accident or you're experiencing pain, your memory of that is quite
vivid
sharp.
for a long time. Yeah.
So if I think it's quite possible that the reptile brain is being used by Murdoch and Alex Jones,
or at least appeals to the reptile brain. And so, getting to my point about the false dichotomy, you know, he says, well, if you don't have faith in God to have created this stuff, how do you explain blank? You know, dot dot dot, and the claim of a God or religion or supernatural events have to stand on their own. You can't just say because B is false, A is correct. You haven't shown us that there are just two options. We know that evolution has brought these emotions to the forefront of our cognitive abilities, and we use them on a daily basis. But what if it wasn't, you know, let's say that it wasn't evolution. That doesn't do anything for the claims of supernatural entities that are out there. But he seems to be convinced that all you got to do is just put down the natural cause and you've got a supernatural cause. You know, it's
Wombat.
Go ahead.
I want to interrupt.
No.
How did this conversation go? At the end of this conversation, this guy was not an atheist to begin with. He was a theist.
So so this is an interesting case because when I was speaking with the guy, I got clear indications that seemed to be that he may have been a closeted atheist. As the conversation went on, he certainly was playing his hand towards more science-based, reason-based positions. And then I was beginning to directly ask him how much he values faith as a mechanism to get to true claims or true beliefs or true conclusions. And he was ultimately saying, like, he doesn't believe it as an accurate means to get the true things because the God of, you know, the Bible has, and people have used faith for such poor uses or poor conclusions that actually cause harm. And the gods that have been presented so far have generated so much harm, even with their most ardent followers. So, but
I guess what I'm asking you is did you turn him?
just to finish the first point, he wasn't comfortable with the label atheist. And street epistemology isn't so much, one of the things I was most proud of during this talk wasn't so much, hey, you just told me your beliefs, this is what you fall under, this is your category, here's your label, goodbye, have a good day. It's more of just an opportunity to have them expound on their beliefs a little bit and hopefully give them the soundboard that they need to really reprocess what they're saying to a person and maybe even change their mind. So we heard in this conversation that the guy believed that there was an open door policy for God claim because there were such things as like joy, love, compassion. He couldn't find a suitable conclusion for why those things could exist. So I thought to myself, even while he was telling me this, if I just ask him, is there a possibility that there's a non-God explanation for these things? Is there a possibility that these things can be explained without using God to support them? And he took some time to think about that, though. It's like there was a good pregnant pause, is what we call it in street epistemology. It's just time to give the person a think. I edited out the pause, but the next words are his a direct thought, and that's in clip, the second clip that I just sent you guys. Okay. And this is where he completely changes his position, more or less on the ability of emotions like joy, love, and compassion, etc., to come about through entirely non-God-related means.
Okay.
I think that was the goal of that street epistemology.
All right, we've got 10 minutes left in the show, and this takes 4.5, so let's get it played so we can talk about it afterwards. See what we got. Here we go.
Now, they might be, but...
Is there a possible non-God explanation for feelings like joy, love, harmony?
There might be. Mm-hmm. There might be, because, I mean, we did survived as a species because we cooperated with each other and looked after each other. And archaeologists have found all kinds of examples of, like you can tell if somebody's had a leg broken and then it healed.
Yes.
Well, for it to heal, somebody had to help them.
Yes.
They can't do that on their own.
Right.
So somebody cared for them. Somebody wanted them alive. So, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of answers like that in the past, but they're kind of unknowable. Mm-hmm. Unless we have a time machine, how do you know? But you can deduce certain things.
Let me ask you, then, do you think the traditional understanding of faith was like belief in the things untested, unseen, for example, as it says in Romans 10,
mm-hmm.
is a reliable way to get to the truth?
No, not really, because so many heinous things have been done in the name of religion by well-intentioned people.
Some things have been wrong, too.
Yeah, some things have been very wrong.
Yeah.
And again, I always go back to science. I mean, we have... we've evolved. I mean, we've evolved from
I don't think this
lower creatures, and that's also a conceit.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But... we have evolutionary evidence that you go far enough back, all we had was like a lizard brain. And if a lizard is in the wild and it encounters something unfamiliar,
yeah.
it wants to either fight it or flight
right.
or run away from it. Fight or flight. We carry that in our brains right now. That's our limbic system. That's our lizard brain.
If you
go to a bar... and you run into some guy who's a perfectly nice guy when he's sober,
yeah.
but he's got a few too many in him, and
sure.
he starts getting belligerent and all that. That's because he's shut down all the higher brain stuff, and he's running on his lizard brain.
Yeah.
And people will do that. That's why people will turn on the other, on people who are different from them. They immediately feel threatened. Whether it's their skin color or their language or their culture or whatever, they're like, oh, they're different. That must be bad.
Okay.
That's their lizard brain talking.
Yeah.
But when you're in everyday society and engaging in normal interactions and normal discourse, you have to try and intellectually shut down that stuff.
I got a weird question. This is kind of like off the rails, right, even for me. Yeah. But would it not be even more amazing if feelings like love, joy, harmony, etc., were things that are part of the human nature rather than something that was given to us through a supernatural being? Yeah. Wouldn't it be so much more awe-inspiring that nothing, no one gave me this feeling that I have for this person, yeah, or that I have when I'm talking to someone?
I agree with that.
Isn't that worth so much more than it,
yeah,
is given to
that
us by a higher being?
Yeah, the closest thing, because, you know, I'm real science-centered and all that, you know, I want to have proof. I'm still open to the possibility of stuff, but I heard this, read this just recently, like within the last year or so, but somebody said that we are...
Thanks for the talk.
Oh, of course.
We are the universe trying to become aware of itself.
Trying to understand itself.
Yeah. That the universe created us.
The universe... For the purpose of trying to understand ourselves?
Yeah.
Do you think, how confident do you think that's true?
I had a wonderful conversation.
I did too.
Thank you so much.
Good meeting you, man.
Good meeting you too.
You're coming back, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
And that was that.
Overall, really great talk with Steven.
Yeah.
And I think it was really cool to see him go from believing ardently that the presence of joy, compassion, and love in human nature is proof of a God, possibly, to him realizing that there are, in fact, evolutionary explanations for it. And perhaps if he was asked that question in the future, he wouldn't necessarily jump to, you know, feelings being possible proof for a supernatural entity. And
right,
maybe eventually be more comfortable calling himself maybe a settled agnostic or atheist or whatever. But that wasn't the goal of the SC, is, or Street Epistemology Isn't Place Labels, is just to hear out the person and then give them the opportunity to reflect on their beliefs. And I think that's exactly what happened in this conversation.
And speaking of goals, I think that he is projecting a goal onto the universe itself. You know, like the purpose of the universe was to create us, you know, create other intelligence.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was any purpose involved. It's just we happened to come alive, I mean, through abiogenic processes. And, you know, we can't say that there is any particular objective or direction to do that, supplied by an intelligence. That's going a little bit far. And when you say there's the purpose, then that's exactly what you're saying.
I actually asked him that at the end of the talk, and we came to a big laugh because he caught himself beginning to, like, you know, romanticize the universe a little bit. And then at the end, I ultimately ended it on that sticking point, and for the most part, I think we both had a really great conversation and a lot of stuff for both of us to think about afterwards.
Yeah.
I think he has pretty solid reasoning skills. He was willing to, like, really...
Yeah, he sounded pretty intelligent. It sounded to me like he was reasoning his way through it pretty well. They only thought...
We were talking last night about how to talk with someone and not put them on the defensive. I'd like to compliment you at being so calm and all in discussing with him. So often I just revert to calling him stupid and slashing their tires and hoping to get away with it.
He doesn't do that.
I haven't shown you my early stuff yet. Oh, man. But, yeah, that was one of the latest interviews that I did. I'm really just proud that I was able to withhold.
Yeah. Now, we did talk about ridicule and the role of ridicule in anti-apologetics, but we both felt that it needs to take a back seat when, you know, until we can exhaust any other.
Don't get me wrong. I just really love making fun of theists. I mean, gosh.
Well, I've not been around when you did that, so I can't speak to that. But I do it sometimes in writing on Facebook. I guess we're all, you know, guilty of that at some point. But when you're faced with stupidity, it's not hard to, I mean, it's hard not to call it out when you see it.
Sure. Sometimes it's not even stupidity. More along the lines, it could just be ignorance or something you may not have even heard of before.
Yeah.
I remember when I was doing a session and I was correcting someone, and then only in retrospect when I was listening back to my tape did I realize I was wrong and the person that I was talking to was correct.
Yeah.
It's the responsibility of both parties
especially in these kinds of talks,
yeah.
to both know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And confidence in what you know isn't good enough. Right. You need to make sure that even the beliefs that you have are rigorously tested.
Yeah.
Rigorously tested.
Well, that was Rib. He's trying to call in, but I hit the speakerphone button, and it just would not come on. I hit it two or three times, and it just wouldn't come on. You're supposed to be able to hit it and get a dial tone even when it's off, and it wouldn't come on. But anyway, we're in the last minute of the show. Final words?
Lizards and reptiles are different things. I'm tired of people saying lizard brain, reptile brain, expecting them the same thing. All lizards are kind of reptiles. Not all reptiles are kinds of lizards. Know your stuff, people. We got to know these things. It's important. Cool. Let's go.
Okay, Dale?
I agree.
Okay. Remember, you can catch us here every week from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Wednesdays on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM. And don't forget, everybody's going to somebody else's hell. Don't sweat it. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.